Amen. God is good. All the time.
God is good.
Yesterday, as I was winding down my study, I heard some thunder, and immediately I better put my phone on airplane mode. We're about to take off here. And immediately I got up from my office, and the words, "Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder and consider," and I hear the rolling thunder, "thy power throughout the universe display," I was moved. Of course, I get moved pretty easily, but if you think of the power of God in life, it really goes along well with what Wendell shared this morning, with our faith. What am I focusing on? Sometimes it's really hard not to focus on the difficulties, but if you think about the power of God, "then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art." And I wanted to just go out and stand in the rain. I didn't then, but I think it's important in life that we see God. Hopefully it's daily. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but we're continuing our message this morning in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and excuse me, verses 22 to chapter 4, verse 1. We want to look at it today. But if you look at this section, and in light of what Paul said earlier in the book, and especially in verse 18 of the first chapter, where he says that in all things he may have the preeminence. And if that is our goal, it goes very much along with the song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." If that is our goal, that in all things Christ would have preeminence. And so we've covered on putting off and then putting on the new man. And as we continue in this section, last Sunday Steve talked about wives being submissive and husbands loving their wives and children obeying their parents and fathers not provoking their children. And it's like a family. And so then today we come to the next section of servants obey all things. And I think it was last Sunday I made a comment that after the sermon, I made a comment that none of us really care for to submit. We don't like that word, kind of. Our natural man doesn't. And so, when you know, things happen in life, right? I don't know if you know where I work is Legacy Home Furniture in Middlebury, Indiana. Put a little ad in there for them. I'll have to charge them for that. But and so we have a store there right in front of Legendary Grind. There's another ad. And we have a warehouse across the alley. And a lot of times we move furniture from the warehouse into the store. And that's a one-way street, right? I mean, every little town has to have a one-way street. And I often back the truck up there to the side entrance of the store because that's one way my truck's going. My truck's heading east, but I'm backing west, right? So I'm kind of legal there, right? Well, okay, so today, or I think it was Friday. Yeah, it was Friday. I decided that, okay, there's some vehicles parked on this side of the door, so I'm going to have to, I want my tail end of the truck to be by the door, so my truck's going to face west. Not good, right? I mean, because I've done it before, and I've been rebuked before by the local authorities, and so I thought, well, I thought surely I can do this time, and isn't that how we reason? And because we just, you know, we had to take some things in and bring some things out. It's so much easier. Otherwise, I'd have to block the alley, and people don't care for that. Anyway, so I parked, and we took some things in, and we were probably there about 10 minutes. And sure enough, here comes the town police, chief of police, maybe, I'm not sure. Says, hey, you're facing the wrong way here. He's pretty stern, you know. And but isn't it interesting how the mind thinks? I mean, you'd really like to say some things, but you know. He said, are you the driver? And I said, yeah, I am. And but I think this parallels very much with how we reason with things in life a lot of times. I think I mentioned to him, well, you know, there's a lot, this is really dumb, but I said, you know, there's a lot of people that go out that way. And he says, yeah, I know that. Which doesn't make it right. But isn't it interesting how our mind thinks to try to excuse me? Because I didn't want to get a ticket. And I didn't, but I don't know if I didn't get one because I wasn't moving. But anyway, so I turned the truck around and but it's just, as I thought of this subject, and I mentioned it even to the people at work. I said, well, this week, you know, this Sunday, I'm going to be talking about, you know, being obedient to our masters and not with eye servants as men pleasers, but it's funny how God uses our blunders, I think, sometimes to teach, to make a point. And I know I'm revealing my Adamic nature by telling you that story, but it's interesting how, oh, we'd really like to excuse ourselves, but in the end, there are people that are in place of authority, and there are rules and laws that remain in place. Anyway, let's read from Colossians 3, verse 22. And as we read this, let's think of this as the bondservants were actually in some ways a part of the family in that day. I think in some versions it says slaves. And I know that that's a very controversial subject. Why would God have allowed slaves? We're not going to discuss that this morning, but it was. We're going to address a few things like that. But this is a part of the family setting. But I noticed that in this setting, it's actually longer than the wives submit and the husbands love and the children obey. It's like it's a little bit of a longer section. It says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there's no partiality. Masters, verse 1 in chapter 4. Give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So, like I said, as we continue this setting, this is after we have put off the old and have put on the new. This is how we are supposed to live. Someone said it this way, that he was ordained to be a plumber. And this morning, I don't know what all your occupations are, but in some ways you are ordained to be that and to do it well. In Paul's day, there were approximately 60 million slaves, and probably close to 50% of the population in the Roman world were slaves or bondservants. And that's hard to imagine. But I think in some ways, if you know that, even, I think the scripture here has a tendency to come alive in a greater way in why the gospel was so attractive to a person who had no inheritance. A bondservant did not receive the inheritance as a son or a daughter. That was pretty common. But a bondservant was, in some cases, they were paid mainly probably through food and a place, a shelter, and probably didn't establish a great bank account. But Paul is addressing these people and saying, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And another thing, Paul never tried to start a revolt. And get the slaves to rebel against the institution. But he asked that they be the best where they were in the situation they found themselves in. And that message is the same for us today. Whatever situation you are in, God wants you to do your best. And it should be an inspiration for us to do our best because of the fact that God is watching me. He's watching me go down the alley the wrong way, okay? And to realize that my attitude, we're talking a lot about attitude here, I think. My attitude, my approach in life is maybe the only Jesus that some people will ever see. Because as you are ordained to be a carpenter, to be a plumber, or whatever you are, the message you display is what the world sees. And it can either cause them to reject God in a greater way, or it can cause them to think, wow, why is that guy so happy when he's carrying a sleeper sofa up the stairs and can hardly get it around the corner because houses aren't built for furniture? No, and whatever you do, it's like, what is my attitude? Because I find myself so often kind of complaining about a situation. It's like, what were these people thinking, you know? Didn't they plan ahead? But it's like, my response is going to be huge. And I've discovered, isn't it amazing how much you can do if you don't just stop and, oh, this is never going to work. But if you just kind of, you just kind of do it, you just kind of start doing it and don't, I mean, that's maybe not true for every situation, but it's like my attitude in what I'm doing has such a huge impact, I believe, on the people. So what is the principle of a slave being obedient? I think the number one thing is that there is hope. There is hope in Christ, regardless of what the circumstances are. I want you to remember that, that there is hope regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of how dark the storm looks, there is hope. Because of Christ, there's hope in Christ. So, if you find yourself in a situation where you deem there is no hope, have you considered Christ? And I know that you have, but he will give you the sense of purpose and peace. And then part B of verse 22, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Obedience. And here again, in this section, we're talking about doing. It takes faith, but it also takes action. Obedience. And the quality of a Christian should be different than a non-Christian when it comes to work. Don't just do your best when the boss is watching, not with eye service. Do your best at all times. And that's a message for me. Keep in mind that God is watching you at all times, and he's going to reward us. What is men pleasers? It's a fear of the boss. And maybe some people have a reason to fear the boss. I don't know. But it's, you know, if we do our job, we will be rewarded accordingly. That is with an honest boss. I know that. God wants us to work under a watchful eye. In realizing that he is watching, God is watching me no matter what. And that's not just at work, but it's everywhere. God wants us to be efficient and in sincerity of heart. Fearing God. We work out of respect for God. The Christian serves his employer from an inner monitor, the monitor of character. And then verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And I think this verse is kind of an echo to verse 17. Says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the New Living Translation. Do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So as you do things, don't lag, but lunge maybe. Just do it in, and I need to be reminded of this, is like, why am I here? How am I preparing? Like Paul said today, I'm ready to be offered. In some ways, we should be at that place at all times in our life, shouldn't we? And to a degree, it's like, I'm ready. Use me. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Out of the soul. Diligence, with enthusiasm. Ultimately, we are honoring God when we do our job faithfully. The Christian does not operate on the same standard as the herd. We need to be that light in that way. As to the Lord, the end of verse 23 says. So, our true boss is the Lord, if we want to look at it that way. God is our boss. We work for Him. And this work gives us, this type of approach gives our work dignity, eternal dignity. Now that doesn't mean that we don't sometimes get disgruntled with the job we have. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit works in that way as well. Maybe it's a sign that, okay, maybe I need to move on now. I don't know. I think God does these things in different ways, but I think that's happened to me already. It's like all of a sudden you just kind of like, I'm just not, this doesn't feel like this is fulfilling me anymore. And you don't always know why. But sometimes God does those things to move us to where He wants us to be. And sometimes we don't even fully understand that. But God is our ultimate employer. Something to keep in mind. And then verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And this, I think, was a message definitely of hope, if you think of servants, bond servants. You will receive an inheritance. And no matter what kind of earthly inheritance that you're anticipating, the ultimate is the inheritance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to be focused on that and not get so sidetracked on our own, the own earthly inheritance that we get. So whether our boss pays us properly or treats us properly, God will reward us in eternity. Inheritance means properly. An inherited property, an inheritance. In a few cases, the gospel is, it means the possessions that an heir receives of an ancestor's death. In this passage, our inheritance is the prospective condition and possession of the believer will receive in the future when Christ returns, Acts 20, verse 32. And now I entrust you to God and the message of His grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance with all those He has set apart for Himself. We will receive an inheritance, an eternal inheritance, if we remain faithful to Christ. And the other thing that it says is that that Christ, who is there is no partiality. It doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you're the master, doesn't matter if you're the servant or whoever you are, there's no partiality. It's hard for us to not show partiality in our life. There is a good possibility that we will never receive full justice in life about some of the things that maybe we've been wronged or whatever. And we may even put in a good day's work and not get much of a reward for it. That may happen. Maybe there's not a lot of recognition given. Because we like to hear words like, hey, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. We like to hear those things. But sometimes we don't get those things here on this earth. There is no such thing as a second-class Christian or layman. But there may be times when Christians lay down on the job. Verse 25 says, who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. and there's no partiality. He who does wrong, God will be the judge. God, there's no partiality. He's impartial. God treats his children fairly and without partiality. It's like today in our Sunday school, we talked about Samson. He was mentioned as one of the, well, it was not in Sunday school, we were talking about the devotional, but Samson was a man who was like, he's mentioned there, isn't he? When you think about it, God knows so much more than we do, and we often judge by what we see and whatever. And it's important for us how we look at people. We now move to chapter 4, where it says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." So as a master or a boss, I would like to just say, make sure you give all your employees a raise tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. But the whole thing of being fair, I think that's important. And it's like, how do we always know when he was fair? Because we sometimes make a judgment on someone's performance as well. And I think that's part of the system that we live under. You pay according to a person's how well he does, how diligent he is. But in all things, it's just saying, masters, be fair. Be just. Do what is right. And also then recognizing that we do have a master in heaven who is watching us as well, who is watching the master, earthly master. And in this case, I believe that the master is our employer, in our society, is the employer. In other words, don't think that you can get away with dishonesty or just looking out for just yourself. But as an employer, treat your employee as you would like to be treated. The employer will stand accountable before God, and God expects employers to treat their employees in a just and fair manner. That's the principle. The question we have to ask ourselves, are you even-handed with your employees? Do you treat your employees partially? Partiality is one thing that is really an issue in our lives, even in families. I think we often, as parents, we try to not love one person more than the other. And I think sometimes things happen that may appear one way or the other. And I think what's been shared even in the past is that we need to be a people of giving place. Don't be easily offended as well. I think as Christians, be careful that you're not easily offended. And when somebody does us wrong, don't be surprised. We have we are earthly people. The things we do, the mistakes we make, trust don't necessarily make us who we are, especially if we confess and move on from that mistake. But that in the whole process of life, the rough things that we face, the rough things that we go through, and our response is not always right, but I trust those things aren't the things that identify who we really are as a whole. And I think of people like David, I mean, or even Paul. I mean, he killed Christians, so, you know, that doesn't really identify who Paul was. It says who he was before he was a Christian. But he became useful in the kingdom of God, and I think that's the goal for all of us. And how do we look at other people? And then also, I think it's important for us to realize how God sees me. We often are affected by, well, in this day and age, we're affected by social media. How does God see you? Christ does not regard you according to the flesh. Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 8:15, "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." The ultimate thing is this. As you go through life, realize how God looks at you as a Christian, as his child. Number one, we are needy people. We are in need of a daily dose of grace, for sure. But it also has, when I have a proper view of how God sees me, I believe it helps me to have a proper view of others. It's important for us to realize that Jesus offers himself to every person, every race, with every ability, and from every background. He offers himself without partiality as the living Savior and the reigning Lord. And whatever you are according to the flesh, he is able to make you a new creation. God has that. Jesus, through Jesus Christ, we are made new. So, as you go through your day's work, how do you look at others? And how do you look at yourself? Because of Jesus. Does that affect your everyday life? Does that affect how you put in a screw? What happens when you hit your finger? What happens when somebody cuts you off on the road? I know one thing. I'm still a work in process. But I just am so thankful for the grace of God. And even as I just think we are so blessed with scriptures like this that direct us on how to live. And some things are not as fun and easy to say, but there's so many things, I think, is in my own life, it's like, I need to hear it. I need to hear, you know what? Does Christ, is he preeminent? Is he really preeminent in my life? Does he make an impact? Somewhere I read that there's a pretty small percentage of Christians who actually lead people to Christ. I thought, how sad. And I thought to myself, it's like, am I doing my job? In pointing people to Christ, in showing people the gospel, the good news. There's a lot of good news, folks, as found through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your amazing grace that saves us, and not only saves us, but keeps us. And thank you so much for your word that is life-giving. And I just pray that you would just water the word, even the word that we have received today through the devotional, through our Sunday school, and even through the preaching of Colossians here, that it would grow in us and that you would just make us what you want us to be. Shape us and make us and mold us and make us useful for your kingdom. And direct us through life. Even as I think of the changes that are happening right here with genes moving back, I pray a blessing on them that as they adjust to maybe the rat race here, that maybe they can even give us a better perspective of life. And I just pray that you would bless them and as they adjust and just, yeah, direct their lives. Be with each one of us as we go from here. Help us to be missionaries for you. Help us to be, as we leave these doors, on the mission field, as it were. Give us grace, give us strength. May you be honored and glorified. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.